Welcome to Bellwether Friends, definitely not the first podcast featuring a discussion of pop culture and why we think you should like what we like. You should trust us, because we're librarians. I'm Anna.
I'm Aline.
I gotta go turn off the air conditioner, sadly.
Oh, right.
Welcome to part two of episode 88, also known as episode 89.
Right, I was gonna say.
Also known episode 89. If you did not catch episode 88 and you like what you're hearing here with us discussing all the books that we thought were notable from Book Expo and other publisher-sponsored events, definitely check out episode 88 because we did the first half-ish of our stacks in episode 88 and we decided to break it up. For everyone's sake.
For everyone's safety.
Right. So it wouldn't be a 5-hour episode. So we're here with our lists. We're going to dive right in. But before we do,
as always, just a reminder, when we are talking about books and movies and music and so on, we compile copious show notes available on our WordPress site where you can track back. You can listen to this comfortably in the car and not worry about wanting to write something down because you can scroll through our show notes and find pretty much everything we mention.
Yep. Thanks, Aline. She's the mistress of the show notes.
And thank you, Anna, for editing them and reminding me what could possibly not be included when I am transcribing every word.
So we're going to dive in with Hachette.
Thank you, Hachette. Hi, Melissa. The first one I wanted to talk about was Little Panic, Dispatches from an Anxious Life by Amanda Stern. This is a memoir. Amanda Stern was on the memoir panel that we attended at Library Journal Day of Dialogue. We really enjoyed that panel. I really enjoyed that panel. I found it so compelling, and all of these women, I was already talking about how I enjoy stories of women dealing with their lives and living with their deals. And this is a good one. This one is by an author who grew up in New York City, shuttled between divorced parents, and she's writing this through the lens of her adulthood after having been diagnosed with a panic disorder and finding out what everything she remembers is like knowing now what she knows about herself then. And this may or may not be relatable. I found it really, really relatable because after having discovered that I have generalized anxiety disorder, I have been much better able to figure out why I freaked out about everything that I freaked out about for many, many years before I knew. And there are things about connection in a book like this. There are things about representation in a book like this. And the voice of the writer is really great. And I am looking forward to diving in. It's got short chapters. It's got letters to and from her parents, from her doctors and teachers. And it looks like a treasure.
I am very, very excited about Empire of Sand by Tasha Suri coming from Orbit in November. I'm going to read you just A Nobleman's Daughter with Magic in Her Blood, an empire built on the dreams of enslaved gods. So we've got desert nomads persecuted because they have magical powers. And I just want to read you the bio of the author.
Okay.
Tasha Suri was born in Harrow, northwest London, to Punjabi parents. She studied English and creative writing at Warwick University and is now a cat-owning librarian in London. A love of period Bollywood films, history, and mythology led her to write South Asian-influenced fantasy.
Awesome.
The blurb says, for fans of The City of Brass and The Wrath of the Dawn, but I think any fantasy reader should be reading books by authors of color, so let's broaden that. To everyone.
Sold.
I just finished Rosewater by Tade Thompson, which is a sci-fi novel set in future Nigeria in which a alien has emerged from the ground and set up a biodome that opens once a year and heals people. What it is like regenerates their whatever's quotation marks wrong with them. And so sometimes this ends up with dead people being brought back to life. Sometimes it means people are just fine, their broken arm is cured. Sometimes it means that instead of their one ailing body part, they have two. So the main character is a thief who has psychic powers now due to the proliferation of alien junk in the atmosphere. And he can find things and he can read people's thoughts. And he's been co-opted into this government organization that uses his powers to pursue whatever agenda they need to pursue. And so he's kind of a morally gray guy pursuing a mystery. So it's sort of a cross between like a hard-boiled mystery and there are aliens among us. What do we do about this?
Okay.
In 2066. So it's the first in a trilogy. I really liked it. I thought it had a lot to say. It was fresh and interesting. I started my review, so look for it in book lists coming soon. I'm also very excited.
How about if we just tell people the ones we're not excited about?
that's not the point of this episode. Iftihaj Muhammad is the fencer, the American fencer, who competed in the last Summer Olympics wearing a hijab. And she has, with Lori Tharps, written a memoir called Proud, My Fight for an Unlikely American Dream. She grew up in New Jersey as the only African-American Muslim in the hijab in town. And wow. Always had to, like, fight for her way in a sport that is mostly for rich white dudes.
Yeah.
And we really enjoyed watching her fence, and learning more about her would be awesome.
Moving on to Penguin Random, we have a bunch of things to talk about from Penguin Random. They are a very large publisher.
They used to be two publishers that were very large.
They used to be two great big publishers. The first one we're going to talk about is Time's Convert by Deborah Harkness. Fans of the All Souls trilogy will be panting for this companion volume. It is not a prequel, it is not a sequel, it is a companion to the trilogy.
They kept calling it a kissing cousin or something like that.
A kissing cousin, which seems an odd thing to call it. Deborah Harkness is a history professor. I was fortunate to hear her speak at ALA prior to the publication of Discovery of Witches, when nobody knew how wonderful it was going to be and how loved it was going to be by our readers.
Is it true that this book has some connection to your library?
It is true that this book has some connection to my library. Sadly, in this ARC, the acknowledgments are TK. We are hoping to see my library in it because she did some research in my library when she was writing this. I am glad you reminded me of that because I had forgotten completely.
There should be a built-in audience for this book.
There is a built-in audience for this book, and I believe that this galley is earmarked to be mailed to a dear friend, but those Deborah Harkness fans out there should love it. And if you get a chance to see her speak or read when she's on tour, do it. She's charming and erudite.
Okay. When Katie Met Cassidy, which is already out, by Camille Perry, who wrote The Assistants, which was also enjoyable. When Katie Met Cassidy is a romantic comedy set in New York City. The twist. Which isn't that much of a twist. Is that both of the principals are ladies. They're both high-powered lawyers without very much time. And Katie is a Kentucky transplant who gets dumped by her fiancé and runs into Cassidy at a negotiation where they're on opposite sides. And Cassidy is a very butch, comfortable in her sexuality, NYC lesbian.
Bit of a tomcat.
Famous for her one-night stands, who introduces Katie to, like, her local bar, and they gradually figure out whether or not they can have a relationship. Spoiler, they can.
It's a romance.
It is a romance. Thank you, Camille.
Yes, thank you for a happily ever after two-lady book. Next from Penguin Random is There Will Be No Miracles Here, a memoir by Casey Gerald. Now, this is a memoir by a dude, so it does not fall into my automatic sweep up of memoirs that I'm interested in. It is by a young black man who grew up in Dallas and went to Yale, where he majored in political science and played varsity football. He was recruited to play football at Yale after having a difficult childhood in Texas. And he spoke at the Library Reads dinner we attended, and my boss, Molly, was floored by him.
Everyone seemed to have been equally moved by his.
He was an extremely compelling speaker. His experience is extremely compelling. And the description says, There Will Be No Miracles Here asks the question, if to live as we are is destroying us, what would it mean to truly live? And it is shot through with sly humor and quiet fury. I think it's a story that we need to hear, and it is good for you to put it on your shelves.
Pages Russell.
That's coming in October from Riverhead Books. Next, I want to talk about Washington Black by Essie Edugon. Coming from Knopf in September, this is the author of Half-Blood Blues. This is a new novel about a boy who rises from the ashes of slavery to become a free man of the world. It's the story of George Washington Black, known as Wash, who is a child on a Barbados sugar plantation and is falsely accused of a crime and has to go on the run.
Vox by Christina Dulcher looks chillingly realistic. Coming in August from Berkeley, I'm just going to read the back. In an all-too-realistic near future, the government has placed a limitation on the speech of women and girls, 100 words a day. The price for exceeding one's daily quota is a painful electric shock administered via the counter adorning each female wrist.
Oh, so it's your Fitbit telling you to shut up instead of get up off your bum.
Yeah.
Okay. Except it's painful instead of just a little...
Presumably, yes.
Very Handmaid's Tale. Very relevant.
Very of the moment.
Yes. And coming from Sarah Jessica Parker for Hogarth is Golden Child by Claire Adam in January 2019. This has a really striking cover and is set in Trinidad.
It's a story of a family with twin sons who are nothing alike, and one of them goes walking into the bush one afternoon and doesn't come home.
It says it's beautiful and unsettling.
My favorite.
So it's literary. Hogarth Press is literary, and your book clubs may be looking for it. Also coming from Penguin Random, I don't have a galley of this in front of me, is Becoming by Michelle Obama. So many people got to see her speak at ALA, and she was in conversation with our hero, Carla Hayden, Dr. Carla Hayden. So it's coming in November. It is an intimate, powerful, and inspiring memoir by the former First Lady of the United States and the Queen of Our Hearts. Also coming in September from Berkeley, The Proposal by Jasmine Guillory. We loved, loved, loved The Wedding Date. We got copies signed. We saw her at...
In conversation with Margaret Willison.
Yes, we saw her in conversation with Margaret Willison at a drag club in Boston. She is charming and hilarious. You should follow her on Instagram and Twitter. And she writes sassy contemporary romances that are really enjoyable.
I enjoyed The Proposal very much, just as much as I enjoyed The Wedding Date. It starts out with Nicole, who has been dating her white actor boyfriend 5 months, is at a baseball game with him, and he proposes via
Jumbotron,
and she's like, no. And
don't do that.
The guy who rescues her when TV crews are coming to make her life more miserable after her boyfriend stops out is Carlos, who is the friend of the guy from The Wedding Date, and he's a doctor, and he thinks that he has to take care of everyone in his family since his father is dead. So Nicole is a freelance writer and he's a doctor, and they just have a really great relationship that develops organically, and I like the way that Jasmine writes. I have two more. We That Are Young has a golden fist on the cover. It's by Preeti Taneja, coming in August from Knopf, a stunning debut novel, modern-day King Lear set in contemporary India.
Oh, right, the King Lear set in India, yeah.
Right. And Well-Read Black Girl, an anthology, edited by Gloria Deem, who founded the Well-Read Black Girl Book Club. It is an inspiring collection of essays by Black women writers curated by Glory on the importance of recognizing ourselves in literature, including Jesmyn Ward, Jacqueline Woodson, N.K. Jemisin, Tayari Jones, coming in October. Did we make it through
Penguin Random? We made it through Penguin Random! Now we're going on to Sourcebooks. Hi, Sourcebooks. We enjoy Sourcebooks very much. I think that they got their start, or maybe they kicked things off years and years ago, bringing Georgette Hare back into print.
Oh,
and
yeah,
if that is not
times.
An auspicious beginning, I don't know what is. Coming in August, Elizabeth Warren, Her Fight, Her Work, Her Life by Antonia Felix. There's not really anything I need to say about this. This is a biography of Elizabeth Warren, the woman to whom was said, about whom was said, nevertheless, she persisted. I follow her on Instagram. She just got a puppy. She's one of the reasons that I consented to move to Massachusetts.
True.
She is a brilliant woman with a lot of knowledge and ideas, and I have strong feelings about her, and I look
this is
forward
accurate.
To meeting her. Someone came to our door this weekend, tap, tap, tapping on our chamber door, bringing the good word of Elizabeth Warren around, and I opened the door to this young door knocker and said, "You don't have to waste your time with us. We are fans of Elizabeth Warren." I apologize if I overstepped putting words into Anna's mouth, but I can tell you that she did not want to talk to a door knocker, whether she has pro or con feelings about Elizabeth Warren.
The Only Woman in the Room by Marie Benedict, author of The Other Einstein,
Carnegie's Maid,
is about Hedy Lamarr.
Yay!
So this is the historical fiction that I can get behind for sure.
And it's a novel.
It's a novel.
About a real person.
So Hedy.
All those faces you made earlier.
Hedy evaded Nazi persecution despite Jewish heritage, ended up in Hollywood, where she became Hedy Lamarr's screen star, but she is also secretly a scientist. Groundbreaking invention that revolutionized modern communication. So I always want to know more about Hedy Lamarr. I believe I learned something about her from one of John Allison's internet cartoons.
That sounds right. I remember a reference to her in one of the ones I read.
Okay, this is the most exciting one yet.
Right?
The most exciting one yet. So Susanna Kersley does historical fiction.
Romantic fiction.
And her latest one is called Bellwether, which we are for. So we each got a galley of Bellwether in the mail from Sourcebooks. And when I got it, I opened it, and I was like, oh, it's spelled Bellewher. That's suspicious. I don't know if I like that. It's not spelled right. This is before I stood next to Susanna in line for something, and I said, oh, it's interesting that you spelled it that way. And she said, well, I didn't want it to be confused with Connie Willis's, because I want people to be able to find Connie Willis's Bellwether and not have mine come up. So I used an alternate, historically appropriate, alternate spelling. And I was like, oh, really?
Okay, then.
Are you a fan of Connie Willis? So then we had a nice Connie Willis discussion. And I told her that we had a podcast named Bellwether Friends. It's named after Bellwether of Connie Willis. And yeah, so Susanna Kersley, she knows what's up.
She is also Canadian, and my Canadian boss was just also a fan of Connie Willis, was beside herself at the prospect of talking to her and having a nice conversation with her and being hugged by her. So we are very pro Susanna Kersley. We did not have any beef with her before.
No, we
didn't. And now we are super, super pro.
We didn't. So this is another one where there is a 1759 doomed romance and a modern day Long Island curator who delves into the history of Wild House, which holds more than just secrets.
Holds more than just secrets?
I know. So thank you, Susanna.
On to Quirk Books. Quirk publishes things
weird stuff we
enjoy. They publish fun, weird stuff that I am always for. The first that I wanted to mention was Hope Never Dies, an Obama-Biden mystery by Andrew Schaefer. You may have read Andrew Schaefer's spoof of 50 Shades of Grey called 50 Shames of Earl Grey. You may have read his other works that I'm not going to be able to remember right now, something about philosophy. Anyway, his author photo is a picture of him with Joe Biden. He wrote this book, an Obama-Biden mystery called Hope Never Dies. It's got an amazing cover. It is the adventures of Barry and Joe in a different form, and I am here for all of the Barry-Joe fic. As much as I love Michelle, I am here for the Barry-Joe fic. It is...
The cover itself is...
Vice President Joe Biden is fresh out of the Obama White House and feeling adrift when his favorite railroad conductor dies in a suspicious accident, leaving behind an ailing wife and a trail of clues. To unravel the mystery, Amtrak Joe reteams with the only man he's ever fully trusted, the 44th President of the United States. Together, they'll plumb the darkest corners of Delaware, traveling from cheap motels to biker bars and beyond, as they uncover the sinister forces advancing America's opioid epidemic. Oh my God! I'm so excited! And we have the galley right here. Next from Quirk... If you don't know and love Grady Hendrix, then where have you been? His debut novel was Horror Store, a horror novel based in an IKEA analog and laid out like an IKEA catalog. And it is scary as heck. We read it and are still scared by it. He has also done a work of nonfiction on horror novel covers, and his newest work is We Sold Our Souls, coming in September 2018. In the 1990s, heavy metal band Dirt Work was poised for breakout success, but then lead singer Terry Hunt embarked on a solo career and rocketed to stardom as Coffin, leaving his fellow bandmates to rot in rural Pennsylvania. Two decades later, former guitarist Chris Pulaski works as the night manager of a Best Western. She's tired, broke, and unhappy. Everything changes when she discovers a shocking secret from her heavy metal past. Turns out that Terry's meteoric rise to success may have come at the price of Chris's very soul. So, the lead singer sold the whole band's souls to the devil, not
like
just his own.
Something a lead singer would do.
Totally a lead singer. A talentless lead singer would do. And so, this is in Grady's inimitable style. If you heard him speak at the luncheon that we heard him speak at, he makes Lin-Manuel Miranda seem ponderous in delivery. So, yeah, he's great. This looks great. We're looking forward to it.
My Quirk selection is Paperback Crush, the totally radical history of 80s and 90s teen fiction.
Okay.
Which covers all the best trends of 80s and 90s teen fiction, from girl power stories to supernatural romance and over-the-top tearjerkers. Full-color reprints of covers illustrate this overview of the little-discussed history of children's publishing between The Outsiders and Harry Potter.
Little-discussed. Are you talking about Sweet Valley High?
I am. It's The Fabulous Five, The Babysitter's Club. So... The other Quirk one that I will be buying for my library is The League of Regrettable Sidekicks, which is the follow-up to Regrettable Superheroes and Regrettable Supervillains. So Sidekicks is the next logical choice. Oh, Paperback Crush is coming out in October, and Regrettable Sidekicks also in October. So, a hilarious but affectionate look at forgotten sidekicks and supporting characters who are strange, even by comic book standards. Also includes profiles of regrettable henchmen and minions, the sidekicks of the supervillain world.
Moving on to Soho Press. Coming in November 2018, Insurrecto by Gina Apostol. We saw her speak at the Library Reads luncheon, where she was talking about this book, a literary tour de force about the Philippines' present and America's past. She is a Penn Open Book Award-winning author. She wrote The Gun Dealer's Daughter. She is a two-time winner of the National Book Award in the Philippines for her novels Bibliolepsy and The Revolution According to Raymundo Mata. She was great. She was an electrifying speaker. I liked her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the story of two women, a Filipino translator and an American filmmaker, on a road trip in Duterte's Philippines. They're collaborating and clashing on the writing of a film script about a massacre during the Philippine-American War. So, it's got history, it's got contemporary action, and it has two ladies on a quest.
Yes, for it. So we heard Juliet from Soho speak and enthuse about a couple of series, but the one that caught my interest and that she said she would send us the first book of was the Slough House series by McCarran, the fifth of which just came out this month from Soho Crime. The most recent one is London Rules, but the first one, which I read, is Slow Horses, and I've also already read the second one, which is Dead Lions. And the best way to describe it is all of the people in MI5 that made mistakes, like one of them left highly sensitive information on a train, and
oops,
one of them lost a tail of a guy who was selling illegal guns on the street, and then a bunch of people died. Anyway, people that screwed up, but they couldn't fire for whatever reason, they stick them in Slough House, hoping that they'll quit. So you've got a bunch of not necessarily at the top of their game ex-spies, and the guy who's at the top is named Jackson Lamb, and he is an overweight, farting, smoking, unpleasant character. But, like, when it comes down to it, he's still got the spy chops. Like, he's still in it. No one expects him to do anything, but he's like one of those characters where you're like, I know that he's gonna come in and save the day. So anyway, if you like spy novels with an edge of humor and an unlikely band of misfits, some of whom end up dying, McCarran series is a good bet for you.
It sounds good. I like crime series, and I like things that I'm not 30 books behind on
already. Well, the audiobooks of the first two are available on Hoopla.
Perfect.
Moving on to Pegasus Books. The Pharaoh's Treasure, The Origin of Paper and the Rise of Western Civilization.
Ah, paper!
By John Gaudet, coming in October. A thought-provoking history of papyrus paper from its origins in Egypt to its spread throughout the world. Okay.
For the bullet journalers among us. Next, also from Pegasus, Classic American Crime Fiction of the 1920s. So this is a collection of five of the most famous crime novels. This is not like a scholarly work covering the entire field. It is covering these five novels that are House Without a Key, The Benson Murder Case, The Roman Hat Mystery, Red Harvest, and Little Caesar.
Pizza, pizza.
There is the inclusion of Charlie Chan, who was a Chinese-American detective at the time when racism was rampant, and his representation is evident in that. But it's also got a Philo Vance book and Ellery Queen.
Oh, yeah.
So look for that. Add it. Put it on your mystery displays. Put it adjacent to your mystery displays, since as an anthology, it's probably going to show up somewhere odd. But it's going to be a good... Make sure it's cataloged so that you can find all of those great books.
Right.
Moving on to Sterling. Sterling, hi, Chris! We enjoy Sterling First, I am really looking forward to Harry and Meghan, the wedding album. I mean, who's not looking forward to Harry and Meghan?
The royal wedding album. It's already out.
The royal wedding album. Yeah, they got that out, like, within a month by Halima Sadat. It is a lavish commemoration of the fairy tale wedding. It has photos of the wedding itself included. We got up early and watched the pregame show and watched the wedding. Anna was very accommodating to my desire to view this. I have not yet procured my commemorative biscuit tin. Better get online and do that. And so look for that. Sterling publishes beautiful craft books and coffee table books and interesting overviews of history. Also including, coming in October by Meredith Ox, Rock and Roll Woman, the 50 Fiercest Female Rockers. And if you don't think that's right up my alley, you haven't been paying attention. 50 iconic female musicians and bands. There are pictures, there are profiles of them, including but not limited to Tina Turner, the Go-Go's, and Slater Kinney, and more. Also, apparently I am just shilling for Sterling these days, is Feminist Felties, one of the craft books that you will find has 20 inspiring and empowering projects to felt and fabric. If you haven't needle felted or done these other projects, you should look at it. The cover has a Rosie the Riveter on a coin purse, which looks like fun.
I've got a Sterling children's title called Sambu is Not Afraid of Ghosts by Katie and Kevin Song, illustrated by Nathan Reed. It is one of those middle grade, highly illustrated novels in which there is something on every page, like the Notebook of Doom or something like that. So little G read this immediately upon receiving it. He did not pass go. He said it was one of the best books he'd ever read.
Wow.
So Samu is not afraid of ghosts, except he totally is. Can he conquer his fear by facing the ghost that lives in the walls of his house?
I don't know.
Can he? So it's, I believe, the first in a series. A funny, touching, and charming story of ghost hunting, escaped pet snakes, and cats with attitude, endorsed by Little G.
Moving on to Ingram.
All You Can Ever Know, a memoir by Nicole Chung of the Toast fame, is coming from Catapult in October. So she was born premature and placed for adoption by her Korean parents, adopted by a white family in Oregon, and raised by them. So it's about her story with insights on race, motherhood, and family of all kinds, says Celeste Ang.
Okay.
Right? This is a must-have for all Toasty readers and everyone else.
Right. The other thing that Elenita was talking about is A Winter's Promise, Volume 1 of the Mirror Visitor Quartet by Christelle Dabos. It was a number one bestseller in France. It is the first book in a four-book series. It is steampunk, gaslight fiction, and fantasy, and has strong female protagonists. People are talking about it. It's pretty epic. It is kind of a young adult-adult crossover.
Okay.
Plain-spoken, headstrong Ophelia cares little about appearances. I don't need to read anymore.
Oh, good.
I'm interested in hearing what she's up to.
And from Ingram, White Dancing Elephants by Chaya Bhuvaneswar from Dzongkh Books. In October, stories that center on the experiences of diverse women of color, cunning, bold, and resolute, facing sexual harassment and racial violence, as well as the violence women inflict upon each other. Wry psychological realism, similar to Garcia Marquez, Margaret Atwood, Sandra Cisneros.
Okay.
I've got one sort of miscellaneous one that I picked up from Vesuvian Books, written by Mary Ting. It's ISAN, or International Sensory Assassin Network. It looks like it's a YA. Meteors have devastated the Earth. And
came out in May.
Oh, it came out in May. So a 17-year-old Ava ends up in juvenile detention until she's selected for a new life. With a catch, she must be injected with an experimental serum.
Okay.
The results will be life-changing. The serum will make her better. To receive the serum, Ava agrees to join a program controlled by ISAN, the International Sensory Assassin Network. Good times.
That sounds good. Coming from DK in October, Spice by Dr. Stuart Faramond. Understand the science of spice, create exciting new blends, and revolutionize your cooking. This was being promoted with a recipe card for mulling spices and a cinnamon stick stapled to the card in a tiny Ziploc bag. I liked it for obvious reasons, being the surliest of spices and also the number one spice. And it also sounds really good, like an overview of the history of spices moving through the world and their current application. I somehow managed to pick up a giveaway copy of Goat Yoga, The Light in Me Honors the Goat in You, by Shenanigans Yoga and Ashley Hilbert, coming already out from Turner Publishing Company. This crowd-pleasing trend is undeniably hilarious, utterly ridiculous, and best of all, fun. It's got really funny pictures of people in yoga poses with goats and without goats. There is one where upward-facing goat, also known as upward-facing dog. There is a yogi in the pose with a goat standing on her back. You have seen these amusing things before, and there are goat yoga classes being offered. I'm not sure what the nature of a goat yoga class would be or how immersive it might be, but it exists. It's out there for you.
Immersed in goats.
Immersed in goats.
Okay, now we have a quick graphic novel section coming from Oni Press. In October, we are very excited.
So excited.
A new Katie O'Neill, author of Princess, Princess Ever After and the Tea Dragon Society, called Aquacorn Cove. A heartfelt story about learning to be a guardian to yourself and those you love. Anything that Katie O'Neill wants to draw and write is fine with me. I will read it.
Are they water unicorns?
They are like water unicorn pegasi.
Oh, nice.
Many of them have horns.
Okay. Sheets by Brenna Thumler is about a young woman who is in charge of her family laundry business and the ghost that lives in her laundromat, Wendell. And Marjorie and Wendell's experiences together are kind of interesting.
See, they seem kind of fraught.
It seems kind of deep. My boss took this home to her daughter, her 12-year-old daughter, and had to forcibly remove it from her hands in order to take her to school. I think it might be for fans of Raina Telgemeier's Ghosts.
It's coming in August from Lion Forge. If you are familiar with Oh Joy Sex Toy online, Erica Moen and Matthew Nolan are coming out with a Drawn to Sex series of graphic novels, the first volume of which is The Basics, coming out in November. Coming out. Get it. I know. From Limerence Press. And this has the same, I think we got it from the Oni booth. Yes. It has the same branding as the Oni stuff, so they may be related. So it is, you know, informative. There are drawings. There is a panel here called Surrendering to Badgering, which is in the What Consent Is Not section. So there's a whole consent section, What Consent Is Not. Not surrendering to badgering. Not intoxicated. Not the absence of a no. Not unconscious.
All of these are good points.
Right. So, Drawn to Sex, The Basics. Norway is a graphic interpretation of a Scottish fairy tale about a giant magical bull.
A giant magical bull?
That's what it says. Sibylla always wanted adventure, but she didn't know it would come in the form of a giant magical bull. Is he a man or a monster? And who knew a prophecy could be so literal? The first in an ongoing series created by sibling writer-artist team Kat Seaton and Kit Seaton. Coming from Image in November. Illegal is coming in August from Sourcebooks. It's from Owen Colfer and Andrew Duncan, illustrated by Giovanni Rigano. is about a boy who makes the hazardous journey from Ghana to Europe. And his epic quest across the Sahara Desert to the dangerous streets of Tripoli and finally out onto the merciless sea.
The merciless sea?
Right. With every step he holds onto his hope for a new life and a reunion with his family. So, I think this is the kind of story that we could all benefit from thinking about. I'm not sure about having Owen Colfer being the writer.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to give it a shot. And finally, Open Earth by Sarah Merck, Eva Cabrera, and Claudia Aguirre is also from Limerence / Oni in September. It's a heartfelt, positive, and erotic look at one woman's adventure in love and sex as a new generation learns to make their own rules and follow their own hearts. So after the collapse of Earth, people are living in space, and they are developing openly polyamorous relationships with friends and crewmates. So it's about creating a balance in your small crew in space with
lots of sex.
Yeah. I think we made it.
We made it. Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. Anna, do you have a musical obsession?
I do. My musical obsession is Beyoncé's Halo.
I can see your halo.
Because of Check Please.
Awesome. My musical obsession is going to lead into our shared obsession. So I don't know if we should say our shared obsession
no,
first.
No, lead away.
Lead away. So my musical obsession is the bevy of lady-centric tunes that are played in snippets throughout the course of season one of The Bold Type. We just watched The Bold Type, which is our shared obsession, season one, and it was cute. It was three young women living the dream, working for a fancy magazine in New York City, and their lives, loves, and losses. And the characters are uniformly attractive, and throughout, just like Felicity, if you watched Felicity, if you're nearly as old as I am, it's got like great, not really widely known pop music sprinkled throughout. And I keep thinking, write down that phrase and Google that song. And I just Googled The Bold Type music, and Freeform has, of course, put together an official playlist on Spotify.
Freeform.
So I'm going to link to that, and eventually I will have specific songs from it, but just like last episode with Spotify playlists, my entire musical obsession is an entire list.
So The Bold Type is the kind of show where I probably identify more with Jacqueline, the middle-aged editor, than I do with any of the three girls. Or maybe with, what's his name, the guy who...
The nice guy, sidekick friend Alex?
Yes, Alex. I can remember his name, I thought it was Mike or Ben. But anyway, Alex. or even Oliver, the head of fashion.
Yeah, I'm not sure I identify with anyone in particular in the show. I just am enjoying it and all of the unrealisticness of them having these clothes and these apartments, and there's a plot point where one of them can't afford her apartment anymore and they change their living situation, but they don't really spend very much time on it, which is fine because all you think about when you are young and living beyond your means is where your next pennies are coming from. But they manage to like have it be present without governing all of the adventures that are happening at work.
Yeah, it's a really fun workplace, New York set show where not everyone is white and straight, and I appreciate that.
Good job, Freeform.
Thanks, Freeform. I think we made it to the end of our book buzz
episodes.
Part two.
Part dos.
You can find us on Twitter at Bellwether Friends. BellwetherFrnds. You can find us on Facebook. We have been tumbling. We're everywhere. You don't expect us to be. If you want, you can look us up on iTunes and leave us a review. I'm Anna, and you can find me online at Helga Grace, H-E-L-G-A-G-R-A-C-E.
I'm Aline, and you can find me on Twitter at Surly Spice, S-U-R-L-Y-S-P-I-C-E.
Our In and Out music was provided by Julie Jurgens. You can find her on Twitter at Hi Miss Julie, H-I-M-I-S-S-J-U-L-I-E. Bye.
Bye.